life a thorn, then count it not a whit. Nay, count it not a whit. Man is well done with it. Soon as he's born, he should all means essay to put the plague away. And I, forewarn, poor captured fugitive, my life most gladly give. I might have had to live another morn. I might have had to live, to live another morn.
That is some first-class singing. That's Bill Hayes singing "Is Life a Boon" from The Yeoman of the Guard by Gilbert and Sullivan. And Mr. Hayes, one of the things I want to say about that recording is, and one reason I played all of it, both verses, is not only is that a wonderful, brilliant, gorgeous sound, but we understand every single word. Has that clarity of diction always been a part of your singing, or did you have to work hard to develop that?
It's something that I am aware of and have worked on. When I listen to singing, I love to hear the words and understand the words. Many people just make pretty sounds, but they can't understand them. I don't admire that. And I think it's very important. That's why I've tried to emphasize the consonants as much as the vowels and to make the words understandable. That recording, I've never heard that.
Really?
Never. It's I did the Yeoman of the Guard for Hallmark Hall of Fame that year, but we had an orchestra, and this one with the piano, I don't know where that came from. I've never heard that.
Wow. I purchased it from iTunes. From a double album, and I don't remember the cover, but I'll have to email you all of that information so you're aware of it. But I'm glad I could give you a little surprise treat today. We need to talk about the career that took off for you on television. You proved to be quite a natural for television, and a lot of people know that you had a stint on Sid Caesar's amazing program, Your Show of Shows. I think you were actually on television just ahead of that, though. Tell us about how you first made it onto television.
My first television was in 1948, when it was still experimental, and I was working, studying at Northwestern and singing in Chicago. I sang in a jazz quintet. That was the orchestra for this the series called The Adventures of Homer Herc, H-E-R-K. And I sang duos, second tenor.
Sounds like fun.
Yes, it was fun. And then in 1949, I joined Olson & Johnson. Olson & Johnson were vaudeville performers. Their biggest hit on Broadway was called Hell's a Poppin'. And it ran for many years. And we did a show. I got hired for them to do a show called Fun's a Poppin'. I had just finished at Northwestern and went on the road with them. In September 1948, Milton Berle, starting the Texaco Star Theater, really started commercial television. And when it came to the summertime of 1949, he took a 13-week hiatus, and they hired NBC, Buick, hired Olson & Johnson to do those 13 weeks, filling in for Milton Berle. So I sang mostly pop stuff on that. On that series, Max Liebman asked me to sing for him. He said, I'm putting together a show called Your Show of Shows. It's going to start next February, and I'd like for you to come sing for me. So I met him and sang one song, two different styles for him. The song was East of the Sun. I sang it as a ballad, kind of phrasing it in a pop way, and then sang it once as a rhythm song. And he hired me. So I started in February 1950 on Your Show of Shows, and I did 120 of the 160 episodes of Your Show of Shows.
Wow. You know, one of the things that's interesting to think about is now we know of this as one of the legendary programs of all time.
Yes,
so groundbreaking. I suppose at the time, you had none of you involved had any way of knowing what a groundbreaking program this would be, or did you? Did you have some inkling?
We knew it was good. Sid and Imogene were just incredibly creative. We had a extremely creative cast. The writers were good. Mel Brooks being one of the writers.
Hmm.
We had Max Liebman had the idea that television was for people with money. Not everybody had a set. And the affluent people, he thought, liked sophisticated humor and more sophisticated music. So we had Grand Opera on every episode. We had Robert Merrill, who was a regular, and Marguerite Piazza, who was a regular. When they were not available, they brought in Jan Pierce or Patrice Bunsell or
Lily Pons, I think, made an appearance once.
And yes, she was on it. Jack Russell was a baritone, and I was a tenor, and we were all-purpose. We would do a scene with Marguerite or Bob Merrill, and then they would sing the aria. So I got to sing some opera all through my time, and some demanding operetta all through my time on Your Show of Shows.
Wow. And this is in front of an audience, right? I mean, I know the show was live, and I believe there was an audience there taking it all in. Is that right?
We had an audience of about 350. We were not in the studio. We were in a theater. It was the International Theater in New York City. And they had taken out many of the seats to put cameras in and platforms for the cameras. But they left about 350 seats, so we had a live audience. And people don't relate today to live. They just don't understand that live is live. They say, well, you pre-recorded. No, we didn't pre-record anything. We was live.
Mm.
You had to sing. It's a good thing I had studied to have a projecting sound, because the microphone might be 12 feet away.
Mm. Well, and if you're sharing the stage with someone who sings regularly on the stage of the Metropolitan Opera, you're singing with singers with very, very big voices.
That's right.
Wow, what a training ground.
Yes, and oh, those two, our two opera stars, Merrill and Piazza, were just fabulous.
Mm.
I mean, they sang everything. Every week, a different aria. I can't. Marguerite must have sung arias of maybe three dozen composers. Just wonderful, all different languages, and Merrill the same. My, they were good.
And within this the scope of a show, these would be performances, in a sense, straight performances.
Quite.
I mean, most of us, when we look back at Your Show of Shows, we think about the hilarious comedy, and when clips are shown, it's never of Robert Merrill singing opera.
Right.
It's of all the madcap antics. And so what you're saying is this was a true variety show that involved not just comedy, but also straight singing acts as classical as what you've just been telling us about.
That's right. And
wow,
it was done very straight. Once in a while, Imogene Coca, who had quite a voice, coloratura, we would do something that lampooned the singing. We would sing it straight, but she would make fun of it. We sang the quartet from Rigoletto,
mm,
and Jack Russell, Adriana Knowles, and Imogene and I sang it, and we sang it quite straight. And Imogene could sing it. She could sing all the coloratura and the stratospheric notes, and she would be flirting with me or something to make it funny, you know.
Wow. Do you have a recollection of where the orchestra was? Was the orchestra in front of you down in a pit, or were they backstage? Or
Okay, picture a theater.
Mm-hmm.
We're on stage. The to my left, all the seats were taken out. Like, if I'm facing out at the theater, all the seats on my left would be taken out, and the orchestra was there. There was a slight delay, so we had to go with the conductor's arm for downbeats. He wore a white shirt and was always very visible. You could see him out of the corner of your eye, no matter where you were facing. And you didn't get the sound quite when, you know, it takes a moment.
Mm.
There's that little tiny sound delay. So we went with him.
Right. Well, it sounds like you were a natural for that, because I'm sure a lot of performers would really find it hard to adjust to that. It sounds like, and from the clips I've seen of you on television, it looks like you didn't struggle with that at all.
Nope. Did not.
Hmm. Those had to be glorious experiences for you. Sometimes the creation of programs like that are delicious fun for the audience, but incredibly backbreakingly hard work for everybody involved.
Which it was.
Was it fun hard work or just hard work?
It was all under pressure. You know, you have a week. They decide on Sunday what you're going to sing next Saturday. And then you have to have that arranged. Buck Warnick would stay up all night Sunday night writing vocal arrangements. And we would get them, some of them on Monday, some on Tuesday, some Wednesday. And once in a while, you know, you'd make a last-minute switch. You have to learn it. It might be a song you never heard before. And you have to stage it. And memorizing everything done by Thursday, because Friday you have to show it to the camera director. You have to sing it with the orchestra with the music still wet on the page. And Saturday was on camera the whole day. We finished Saturday night, excuse me, and you get a good night's rest, hopefully, and they decide on Sunday what you're going to sing the next week. I mean, it was all under pressure. It was very hard work.
Wow. Did it feel like the music was as important a part of things as the comedy? Did you ever feel like you and your musical colleagues were just filler between all of the comedy that was what it was really all about? Or did you feel like it was an honored component in this program?
Well, it served its purpose. Sid and Imogene were the stars of the show. And later on, when Carl Reiner arrived, he and Sid and Imogene and Howie Morris, they were fabulously funny. So we were, in a way, the relief, the setup between. We had a few vaudeville acts that came in that served that purpose. But we were respected a lot.
Mm.
You know, sometimes we'd do six numbers in a show.
Wow.
That's a lot of learning. And yet it had its purpose.
Hmm.
Judy Johnson and I must have sung 100 duets, all staged. And yet we were quite respected. The opera was so beautifully done that it was quite respected. We were filler, and yet we were substantial.
We're speaking with Bill Hayes. He's just been recounting one of the most interesting chapters in his long and brilliant career, a long stint with Sid Caesar's Your Show of Shows.